The Bread and Water of Life, Commentary for the August 16, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. The Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert wilderness of Sinai. When they were thirsty, God provided water. When they were hungry, God provided food. They were so well cared for that even their clothing and sandals did not wear out during these four decades, according to Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. But even amid such care, their faith was tried repeatedly that it might grow. For example, 3 days after the Red Sea crossing, they came to the bitter waters of Marah, thinking this is what God intended for them to drink. God had something better in store, but they were yearning to go back to Egypt, complaining that they would die in the desert without water. God showed Moses a tree that would lessen the bitterness of the water, and the people drank. However, had they only trusted God a little further, they would not have had the experience of the bitter water, for the sweet waters of Elim were only a short distance farther. Moses, over 80 years, had learned the lessons of faith. So it must have been frustrating for him to lead these people, who had so little trust in God, and blaming Moses for every challenge they faced. These were people who had come to trust their own wits for survival under the whips of the cruel Egyptian slave masters. Like an abused pet, they were more inclined to bite the hand trying to feed them and heal their emotional scars. One of the simple tests intended to teach them to have faith was that of the manna. When the people blamed Moses for there being nothing to eat, they were wanting again to return to Egypt and escape the lessons of faith God was providing. But God responded to their need. In the morning, the ground was covered with food that had the consistency of coriander. But the people called it manna because they did not know what it was. Moses explained that it was the food God provided. They were to gather an omer per person each day. Some were more faithful than others in doing so. But no matter how much or how little was gathered, each person had their omer each day. Just as when Jesus fed the multitudes, no one lacked. Any attempt to gather extra to store so they would not have to go out every day and gather failed, for the food rotted by the next day. Despite that, Moses instructed them to ignore this on the day before Sabbath and gather enough for 2 days. When they did so, the food did not rot over Sabbath. Those who went out on Sabbath, disregarding Moses' instructions, found there was no manna on the ground for them to gather. This continued weekly for 40 years. The Sabbath became a test of whether the people would trust God to provide for them as he did at the waters of Elim, and with the continuing provision of manna instead of in their own ideas of what should happen. The Sabbath continues to be a test of this idea. The 40 years in Sinai left no doubt as to which day is the Sabbath. Jesus and the apostles had no doubt as to which day was the Sabbath. But ironically, most of the Christian world seems to have forgotten the integral relationship between faith and the Sabbath. They worship on Sunday and even call it Sabbath, as though that could make it so. Responses, when queried about it, range from, "The law was done away with, so it does not matter which day is kept holy," to, "We honor that day as holy in remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus." Both responses become suspect when there is no command in Scripture designating a change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. To this day, the Jews have not lost track of which day of the week is correct. It is ironic that those who speak of the law being done away with would nonetheless push a command to honor Sunday as fervently as God promotes the Sabbath. Where did the competing holy days originate? For the Sabbath, it is clear-cut. It was established at creation when God set aside the seventh day of creation, blessing it and declaring it holy, according to Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Even though the word Sabbath is not used in this passage, Moses establishes the link when he ties the Sabbath commandment to creation, writing, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Exodus 20, verse 11. While modern Sunday worshipers may cast doubt on which day is Sabbath, Moses and all Jewry since has had no doubt. Sunday keeping arose in the post-apostolic and anti-Nicene era. Several factors were involved. Not least of these was the ongoing persecution of Christians by the Jews. The huge influx of Pauline Gentiles into the Christian movement introduced a racist aspect into the ongoing persecution. The Gentile proselytes were not timid in responding to this ongoing persecution with a wave of anti-Semitism that rose to a crescendo by the 4th century. Once they had recognition as an official religion by Constantine after the Council of Nicaea, they did all they could to extirpate all elements of Judaism from the praxis and dogma of the Christian Church. This included outlawing Saturday Sabbath observance at the Council of Laodicea, a half century after Nicaea. It was during this period that the idea of honoring Sunday in honor of the resurrection came forward, welcomed and endorsed by the Christian Church. Rome, and later Byzantium, doubtless encouraged these developments. After two major revolts by the Jews and thousands of Roman lives lost to quell them, no love was lost between the empire and the Jews. They banned Jews from Jerusalem after the first revolt, which gave the Gentile Christians the upper hand in church governance in the holy city, since they could still enter and transact business there. This would inflame animosities between Jews and Christians. Also, a helpful tool in Rome dealing with the Jews was to target those homes without a fire on Sabbath for their raids. This would have the side effect of encouraging the Gentile Christians to abandon Sabbath observance to avoid being swept up with the rebellious Jews. But despite all the societal pressures, there was never a command by Jesus or the apostles to abandon the Sabbath as irrelevant. It is a command of men, a command of political expedience that brought about the change. We live in a land of religious tolerance guaranteed by the United States Constitution. So why do so many continue to see Sunday as a required holy day? Why do so many still go out after manna on Sabbath as though there is no Sabbath? Is it because they are unable to trust God to provide for their material needs after so many years of trusting to their own strength to survive? So many are in debt for thousands of dollars, chains that hold them in slavery every bit as securely as the Egyptians of thousands of years ago. Their debts have filled them with fear of not being able to pay their obligations if they do something strange like keeping Sabbath. Strangely, it is only the Sabbath that there is such quibbling over. The other 9 commandments are still seen as valid, even though so many violate them. Even adulterers would admit that God is not in favor of adultery. The same is true for thieves and thievery. It is a well-known principle that what is not used becomes weak and even useless over time. Stated simply, the person who never does push-ups can get to the point that they can no longer do even one because their physical strength has wasted away. In an emergency, the physical strength to face that emergency and survive it may be lacking. The same is true of faith. God has provided a weekly exercise in the Sabbath that reminds us of the need of faith and the opportunity to exercise it. After wandering for 40 years, the Israelites finally reached the border of the land promised to their ancestor Abraham. Moses was no longer with them, having died and passed the leadership to Joshua. Joshua was a man fully committed to faith in God, but his faith was not a coercive faith, as so many try to impose on others today. He simply told the people they have a choice. They can choose to serve God or something else. The course of the nation of Israel would depend upon the choices made by each. But no matter what they decided, Joshua made clear that he and all his household would serve the Lord, according to Joshua 24, verse 15. We continue to have that same choice today. We can follow man-made Christianity, or we can follow God and what He has established to grow to be all we were created to be. If we choose God over humanity as our lead, then like the Apostle Paul, we can be convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38 and 39. He will never forsake us. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to books by the author, as well as other articles by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.